Good morning. Welcome to First Baptist Shiloh. I'm so glad you guys decided to join us this morning. Our pastor is enjoying much needed time away with his family, and our associate pastor is doing the same. If you guys would, please keep them and their families in your prayers. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Michael Borton, and I have the wonderful privilege and honor of pastoring the youth and families of this church, along with overseeing the recreation ministry through our Upward Sports programs. First off, let me start by saying I learn so much from these teens and children as they sharpen and strengthen my faith each day that I get to serve them here at FBCS. As we come to an end of 2014, I'm sorely reminded of those New Year's resolutions I made almost 1 year ago. Unfortunately for me, not so good memories come to mind as I examine how I failed in following through over this past year. Now, how many of you guys failed your resolution by day one? Anybody bold enough to raise their hand? How about the first week? How many guys made it a week? Anybody in here made it a month? By show of hands, anybody in here who has still hung on to the resolution and you're going strong to finish out this year? I need to find you after the service is over and figure out how you did it. Over the past month or so in our youth ministry, we've been discovering through Scripture what it means to follow Jesus, and we've been discussing what that looks like. It was no coincidence that the night I was preparing to teach on next steps in our youth ministry that Pastor Bob asked if I would teach this morning. Ironically, I knew that I could not share that message with the teens without being willing to take my next step. So this morning, you find me standing here in the presence of all of you guys, getting out of what would be my comfort zone and sharing God's word with you as he has prepared and adequately laid it on my heart, as I knew that I couldn't say no to God. This morning, I want to examine carefully the word focus. And I want to do so by zooming in and zooming out on the life of Peter and his initial call by Jesus in Luke 5, verses 1 through 11, to be his follower. I want to do so by each of us asking ourselves this very important question. How do we as a church here at FBCS stay focused on Jesus in a world full of distractions? Now, grandparents, how many grandparents in the room? Retired, fixed income, traveling, grandkids, right? Our plate is full. We're busy. We've got to go visit. We've got plays to see. We've got musicals. We've got kids' sports games to go watch. Parents, how many parents in the room? Husbands, you're starting out. You're building that new career, right? You're trying to climb that corporate ladder. Wives, you're working yourself nowadays. You're building your own career. Or how many of you guys in here, as wives, you're that professional chauffeur driving your kids, and you feel like all you do is transport them from one place to the next? Ball games, musicals, performances, right? Single adults, you're starting out with that new job. You're excited, you're anxious, yet you're worried, and you're pursuing to climb that corporate ladder. You're just getting started in your vocation. Maybe you're out there searching for a spouse. College students, you're thinking about those exams. Am I going to finish strong this freshman year? Or maybe for those, am I going to be prepared as I get ready to start my first job? High school students, graduation day, it's nearing around the corner. How fast time flies. Studies, exams, I want to finish strong so I can get into that college. Junior high students, your first pimples appeared. You're thinking about that. Maybe you got your first boyfriend, your first girlfriend. Children, it's that time for recess, our sports teams, our musical performances. Would we all agree in life today we are extremely busy and we're extremely focused, and sometimes the focus that we live by is directed by the world we live in and not on whom we serve? And I want you to think about that. So how do we as a church stay focused on Jesus in a world full of distractions? To answer this important question, I want you guys, if you would, to turn to Luke chapter 5. While you're doing that, let me provide you, as we zoom back out, Let me provide you with a background to this passage. The author here is Luke, a Gentile, listed as a doctor and a very close friend of the Apostle Paul. In fact, he was a travel companion, mostly listed during the time of Paul's second missionary journey and Paul's final imprisonment in Rome. It's suggested that Luke's hometown may have been in Antioch of Syria or Philippi. And in the first four verses of chapter 1 in Luke, he stresses his attention in detail to investigating everything carefully from the beginning, from seeking out eyewitnesses to the events that took place during Jesus' time on earth and his ministry. Details that you and I will see this morning are extremely important for us. In fact, some of those details were left out in the other accounts of this call in Matthew and Mark and John. The time that this takes place, the setting is right after John the Baptist was arrested and the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry following his experience in the desert where he was tempted. The location, this is significant, the location where this takes place is the Sea of Galilee. This is where Jesus starts his Galilean ministry. Fishing at this time is a popular trade. Fishing was the most common occupation for those living near the lakeshore. In fact, it was more common than farming. And so as a whole, the whole town was into fishing. Jesus uses many metaphors relating to fishing that everyone would understand. Now, key people, I want you to pay attention to Jesus, significant. Simon Peter, one of the fishermen, James and John, some of the other fishermen along with him, and what's called the crowd or the multitudes. You see, wherever Jesus went, he had different groups of people who followed him. There were these crowds who would follow Jesus. And some of them, when he would enter that city, this crowd would follow him because he was performing miracles and healings. And then there was this other group of people who, Mary, Lazarus, whenever they had a chance, whenever their time allowed them to do so, they would follow him. But then there was this next group, which you're going to see here, Jesus is about to call. And eventually you'll find this is a closer group that Jesus begins to minister to. And so there's this crowd, these multitudes. They're following Christ. Now I want to zoom in. I want you guys to pay careful attention to Jesus and his interaction with Simon Peter as we dissect this passage in three scenes. Everybody there in Luke chapter 5. Before we read God's word, would you guys pray with me? Heavenly Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to each heart that you've drawn here this morning. Father, I don't know where each person is at, but you do, in their journey in following you. Father, this morning I pray you would set captives free. I pray, Father God, that in a world full of distractions, we would recenter our focus. And I pray most importantly that we would be in tune with what you want us to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Read with me Luke 5:1. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And so if you're taking notes inside your bulletin, fill in the blank number one is focused listening. Verse 1. Notice Luke places the calling of the first disciples after Jesus began his Galilean ministry. Why is this important? Luke clearly emphasizes in verse 1 large crowds of people who have responded to Jesus' ministry by noting in verse 1 that crowds, that multitudes were coming to Jesus to listen to the word of God. This detail by Luke follows Jesus' clear and direct purpose that in fact defined his mission as highlighted in Luke 4, verse 43 and 44, where he said, "But he, Jesus, said to them, 'I must preach the kingdom of God, for I was sent for this purpose.'" And he, Jesus, kept on preaching. Luke also emphasizes here on the eagerness of the crowds to hear the word of God. We could try to use psychology to deduct the true reasons why the crowds were pressing Jesus that morning. In fact, there is little doubt that some were there only to look for the miracles and the healings that he was performing in his public ministry in the previous towns he visited. But that's not the point that Luke is trying to make here, and to teach in that direction would be to leave this passage altogether. Luke is in fact portraying the crowd as people who are eager to listen, and Jesus just as eager to teach them. Now let's pause for a moment and let's break down this key word, listening. Listening is defined as giving one's attention, to take notice, to make an effort to hear something, or to be alert and ready to hear something. Now, married men in this room, doesn't that describe what we do when our wife instructs us to take out the garbage, to clean the dishes, or when she wants to talk to you when you come home from work and she starts to share all of her problems, struggles, or concerns from that day? Now, men, don't answer that question. Church, what would it look like if we showed up each Sunday morning, each Sunday night, each Wednesday night, alert, ready to hear? If we made an effort to pay attention, would we walk out of the room the same? Would our response after the message be different? One thing this crowd got right this morning out on the shore of the Sea of Galilee was they recognized who Jesus was. They recognized the presence of whom they were in. One with power, one with authority, and as a result, they listened. They paid attention. They took notice. They were ready to hear something. And then notice in the verse, it says in the text, the crowd pressed around Jesus. Now I want you to think about what that means. Why did they get so close to Jesus? Because they didn't want anything else to be a distraction. Church, do we come prepared, pressed, ready, alert to receive the word from God each morning? Let's move on to verse 2. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them, and they were washing their nets. Verse 2, so as Jesus now has an attentive audience, like a good teacher would do, he finds a place most suitable to properly teach. He sees two empty boats lying at the edge of the lake as the fishermen had gotten out of them and they were washing their nets. Jesus, in this moment, is preparing to teach. I wonder what the fishermen were thinking at this moment. This crowd's assembled near them with this rabbi, this good teacher, in the center of attention. And here they are washing, listening, cleaning, listening, preparing for the next day, listening. And then all of a sudden, Jesus zooms in on one of them. Check out verse 3 with me. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little while from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. Pay careful attention. Notice Jesus steps into Simon Peter's boat. Why Simon Peter? Couldn't Jesus see that these fishermen were cleaning and that they were tired from a night out fishing? Didn't Jesus know that this would inconvenience Simon Peter as he was busy working? The reappearance of Simon who first appeared in Luke 4:38 as Jesus healed his mother-in-law at Capernaum. And this passage at this point serves to highlight the importance of the next two scenes in this passage which are about to unfold. Jesus is now zooming in on Peter at the center of attention. In a moment, we'll find out why. But first, notice Jesus asked Simon Peter to put out a little way from the land. Jesus invited Simon Peter to play a part. What if Simon said to Jesus, "No, I'm not going to do it. It's going to be too inconvenient. I'm busy, Jesus." I believe Jesus already knew Simon's answer to his invitation. I believe Simon's heart was open. And I believe Simon recognized this was no ordinary rabbi. I believe Simon recognized that this rabbi spoke with one who had authority and power. And thus Simon responded with obedience. Remember, trust and obey. Now let's camp out and pause here for a moment. Doesn't this describe our experience as followers of Christ? We're working, we're going our merry way, and then boom, something happens that causes us to change focus. And we begin to examine or ask ourselves, is what I'm currently focused on worth all of my attention, all of my time, and all of my resources? We begin, in fact, to wonder if we were focused on the right things. And then Jesus provides us with that invitation to obey him. And we have this crossroads moment, this fork in the road decision to make. Do I ignore his voice and continue what I'm doing? Or do I stop, change directions, focus, and then take his next step? So Simon Peter responds with obedience. He changes focus, and then it says, Jesus sits down. Well, wait a second. If he sits down, doesn't that mean that we're going to be here for a while? You know, because if he stands, he's probably going to get tired after a little while, you know, and call it quits. But like sitting down, doesn't that mean that we're going to be here for a while? Maybe I should sit. And Jesus began teaching the crowds, but zooming in on Simon Peter and fulfilling the purpose God called him to preach, the kingdom of God to those who were making an effort, those who pressed near him, those who were alert, those who were ready to hear Jesus speak the word of God. Let's move on. Verses 4 through 9. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets." When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. Here we move on to the second scene in this narrative. And if you're taking notes, fill in the blank number 2 is focused, obeying. Notice in verses 4 through 7, it recounts the miraculous catch of fish. Several features here are worth focusing our attention on. These men weren't just recreational fishermen. They were professional fishermen who made their livelihood on catching fish. That's how they ate. That's how they fed their families. The occupation of fishermen, in fact, had defined to this point who they were. They had just fished all night. Which, being professionals, they knew that this was the best time to fish on the Sea of Galilee. as the fish would come up at night and go deep down in the water in the morning, and they had caught nothing. As we have already learned, they gave up fishing for the night. They headed back to the shore, and they started washing their nets to prepare for the next night out fishing. Notice Simon Peter's next response to Jesus' invitation, which he provided in verse 4. When Jesus asked Simon to put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Luke details Simon's response with a somewhat mild objection, as if to say, Jesus, don't you know we already tried that and we failed? Now, if you guys would for a moment, picture yourself in this scene at this time. Place yourself in Simon's shoes for a moment concerning the invitation from Jesus. But Jesus, we just cleaned our nets. If we let them out, we're going to have to clean them again. Don't you realize that that's really inconvenient in what you're asking me to do right now? Or Jesus, you know, you're a carpenter. Don't you see I'm a professional fisherman? Why don't you stick to carpentry and let me handle fishing? You know, that's kind of what we each do best. Or how about this? Jesus, can't you see you have gathered this fairly large crowd and they're watching our every move right now? And you know, Jesus, I want to do what you tell me to do, but you know, my friends, you know, the other professional fishermen, they're watching. And if they see me let out my nets this early in the morning, well, you know, Jesus, they're going to kind of laugh at me. Don't you realize, Jesus, my reputation is at stake? Jesus, don't you care about me? But now play out in your mind the other side of the invitation. Well, Jesus, this is inconvenient, but man, I saw how you healed my mother-in-law and those others who weren't well. And you know what? If you say so, I'm going to give it a try. Or, you know, you have a following and you are a well-respected rabbi teacher, so what can it hurt? Maybe you know something I don't know, so let me go ahead and let me give it a try, because as you say so. Notice the text does not directly answer why Simon Peter responded obediently to Jesus' next request, as it only portrays the willingness of Simon at your word to try something that he had already tried and failed. Now let's pause here for a brief moment and let me ask you this simple question. What might Jesus be inviting you to do that you've done 1,000 times, but this time to try it his way? As a church, what might be Jesus asking, inviting us to do that we've done 1,000 times our way, but this time to try it his way? Sunday school teachers, men's ministry leaders, women's ministry leaders, children's ministry team, missions team, committee chairs, committee teams, deacons in this room, VBS leaders, personnel team, facilities and development team, Vision 2020 team, capital campaign team, and members of FBCS, are you alert? Are you paying attention? Are you ready to hear? Are you making an effort to listen to Jesus' invitation to follow? Are you willing, whether by mild objection or reluctant willingness, or by Jesus' previous reputation of what you've seen him do in the past, you know, when he raised all the money to build this building, and when you obeyed, or are you just simply ready to take him at his word? Because you say so, Jesus, I will. We here at FBCS will. You fill in the blank. Church, why is this question, or more importantly, our response to Jesus' invitation so important because of what hangs in the balance of our response. In response to Simon Peter's faith, Jesus then shows up, shows off, but most importantly, Simon Peter sees who Jesus really is. Let's look at verses 6 through 9. As Simon obediently responded to the word of Jesus, not only did he catch a huge haul of fish, it says he needed immediate help from others to land the catch. You see, not only was the catching of fish for Simon Peter a private matter for those in the boats who let down their nets, but the success was so great that others needed to be invited to assist in hauling in the catch. Here in this passage, the focus is zoomed in on Simon Peter and his response to the call, the invitation from Jesus. As we zoom back out, though, Simon Peter is representative here of the other fishermen and all of the future disciples who would come later to follow Jesus. Here in Luke, the calling of the three men, Simon Peter, James, and John, who would later form the inner circle of the 12 disciples, is in response to their experience and the recognition of the power of Jesus in their midst, as well as their need for help in landing the fish. As we zoom back in to Simon Peter, his response to seeing such a large catch of fish. Church, do you notice in the text, was it to brag to all of his fellow fishermen, say, man, did you see how many fish I caught? You know, they're like this big, right? Or was it to brag about how good of a fisherman he was? Or how about, well, guys, you see, if you would be living your life right, and, you know, following all of the rules, you know, those Ten Commandments, you know, then you would catch fish like I'm catching fish, right? Because you know it's how good I am, right? No. In fact, it was quite the opposite. Simon responded in verses 8 and 9 by falling at the feet of Jesus, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. You see, folks, in the miracle, Simon the fisherman realized that he was in the presence of no ordinary man with no ordinary power. So Simon Peter does not come to the point of recognizing the power of Jesus until he sees the fish in the nets. Why? Because Simon the fisherman recognized in this catch of fish something amazing just happened. Simon's response is the response of one who has come into the very presence of God. This you see in contrast to our somewhat easy familiarity today with the sacred and casual way we tend to seek and treat our worship services each Sunday when we encounter the presence of God. Simon encountered God in a way that he had never encountered him before, all in the process of taking one next step after one next step when Jesus invited him to do so. Remember, he was listening. He was obeying. Then comes life transformation. When Isaiah the prophet encountered God in a significant way in the Old Testament while worshiping in the temple, he responded by crying, woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When Moses encountered God at the burning bush, he marveled at his sight. He knew who he was in comparison to who God was. Like Isaiah the prophet, like Simon Peter, when Moses encountered God, he was filled with so much humility. In fact, Moses had many excuses to give God. He said, "Who am I? What if they don't listen to me or believe me? Please, Lord, I've never been eloquent, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." Jesus had confronted Simon Peter with his own inadequacies in the very area that defined who he was as a person, his vocation. The distance between the power of God through Jesus, who stood before Simon Peter that morning, contrasted with his own inadequacies, pushed Peter to self-examination and confession. Peter was humbled here in the one area of his life where he thought he should be in control. Peter's reaction, much like ours today, was to push Jesus away so that he would not have to face his own failure and inadequacy. Why? Because it always is easier to push away or to kill those who bring us face to face with ourselves than it is to face the truth of who we really are. This event foreshadows the reaction of the people of Nazareth to Jesus and anticipates not only the path of Jesus through the Gospel of Luke to the crucifixion, but also of the disciples themselves through the book of Acts. Yet in this moment of humiliation, Peter is able to come face to face with himself and confess, "I am a sinful man." And this confession that marks a turning point in Simon Peter's life and becomes the definition of faithful response to Jesus. In Luke 5:32, Jesus makes this point much clearer as he states, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now let me repeat that for a moment for some of you guys here in this room. Let me repeat what he says. "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Is there anyone in this room this morning who's not a sinner? Aren't we all sinners according to God's word? Jesus is calling you. He's calling me to repentance. You see, Jesus' invitation is for all of us today. But notice with Simon Peter and with you and I that Jesus does not force Simon or you or I to accept his invitation. You see, we have a choice to make. Who will we listen to? Who will we obey? Let's finish with verse 10 and 11. "And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not fear. From now on you will be catching men.' When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him." If you're taking notes, fill in the blank. Number 3 is focused following. Notice how Jesus responds to Simon Peter's confession. Not with condemnation, but with assurance. And the grace and love of a parent reassuring a child who has lost all confidence in themselves that they still have value and they still have worth. In that one moment, Jesus redefined who Peter was. He would no longer be the fisherman of the Sea of Galilee, but he would now be living to fish for men. The event here was far more than a miracle of fish. It was nothing less than an encounter with God that forever changed who Peter and the other men in the boats would be. And it became symbolic of the future mission of God's people and God's future church. Their value and worth, our value and worth, would no longer be defined by their own efforts and their own success, but it would be defined by the power of God at work in their lives, in our lives, in carrying out his work in the world. One additional point to make that we don't have a lot of time to carefully dissect this morning, but something for those of you who would like to examine this a little bit further, is the fact that Jesus' use of the word catching men in verse 10 to Simon Peter, future disciples, and to the mission of the future church. As I study this passage these past few weeks, I noticed in my New American Standard cross-reference Bible that beside that word catching men was listed 2 Timothy 2:26, which reads, "And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive to do his, the devil's, will." Then if you flip to Luke 4:18, Jesus states, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed." Church, our mission is to follow Jesus' commission by assisting Jesus in hauling in the catch by catching men held captive by the snares of the devil. This morning, we can take Luke's presentation of Simon as exemplary of what a follower of Jesus is called to be and do. There is much work to be done, many fish to catch. The role of the church and the followers of Jesus is to carry on the work of Jesus in the world and to assist in proclaiming the good news. The implications and the consequences of beginning that journey as followers of Jesus is not at all apparent from the start. But the call to leave everything and follow when Jesus tells you so. Luke will continue in his gospel to unfold the implications of being a follower and how they are to work out the kingdom of God in the world. Simon Peter and the disciples will continue their journey, and Jesus, you will see if you read the rest of the gospels, will continue to teach them by word and show them, demonstrate to them by action. He's not going to just fish. He's going to act and catch. And he will continue to test their faith in him, much like he does for you and I today. As I close this morning, my challenge to each of you is to respond to Jesus' invitation to take your next step. And for us as a church at FBCS, are we ready to take our next step? You see, listening was point number one. The crowd, Simon Peter and the fishermen that morning, made an effort. They were alert. They were ready to hear, and they received. And Simon Peter's life changed, as well as the others who were with him. Maybe your next step is just simply showing up tonight, Sunday night, next Sunday morning. Maybe it's just being alert the next time you come in here, getting as close as you can to hear the Word of God, to remove any distractions. Maybe your next step is to begin reading God's Word. Maybe your next step is to change directions. Maybe you've been listening to the wrong voices. You've been following the crowd in the wrong direction. Listening. What is God calling you to do? And obeying, the second point. Simon Peter wasn't a believer at first, but in the process of obeying Jesus twice, he eventually encountered Jesus in a way that he never had done before, and his immediate response was he wept. He confessed and he repented. believer in this room or unbeliever, maybe your next step is coming to confession and repentance and recognizing who you are in comparison to who He is. What has Jesus been inviting you to do, believer, that you've been hesitant, or maybe you've said no, or maybe you've been waiting to do? Because if you've been listening, the next step is obeying. This morning, will you take that next step? And then the third point, following in the next step. Peter and the fishermen left everything and followed Jesus. Notice the text doesn't say they collected all the fish from the haul. They went over to the broker. They sold the fish. They kept all the money. They gave it to their wives so they would have money. And then they caught back up with Jesus later on and said, you know, give me some time here to get done what I need to do, and let me get back to you in a little bit. Church, what if Jesus asked you to give something up to follow Him? Would you? Church, where are we? The end of 2014. Come 2015, where do we want to be? Do we want to be a part of hauling in the catch? If so, then what's our next step? Will we take it? Lives are at stake. A lot of people hang in the balance.